Would you turn back to Genesis 19? I have entitled the message for this morning, Things God Cannot Do. Things God Cannot Do. Now let me remind you that the Bible claims to be the inspired Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's important for us to realize that we're not giving men's opinions. God revealed everything in this book according to His will, for His glory, to teach His gospel. And this story before us is a glorious gospel story. Now look once again at verse 22, where God says to Lot, "Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till you are out of here." God says, I cannot destroy this place. He's speaking through the angels. I can't send my fire down until you are out of here. I cannot do this until you are out of here. Things God cannot do. Now let's remember what was going on. God had sent the angels to see if the cry of Sodom was indeed what he had heard, which is just a way of speaking to us. It was. And Lot was going to be delivered. We read in verse 16, after Lot had been warned about escaping Sodom and Gomorrah, and while he lingered, he was reluctant to leave Sodom. He lingered. In spite of these warnings, he lingered. The men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, this is the Lord speaking through these men to Lot, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And look at Lot's response. After God says escape, what does Lot say? Now remember, he'd already been grabbed by the hand and brought out of the city. And now he's brought out of the city. God says, run. And what does he do? Verse 18. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. Not so, my Lord. Lot is remaining true to his character. Verse 19. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. Now look what he says. I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Now wait a minute, Lot. The Lord has just taken you by the hand and your family and brought you out of Sodom. Can't he enable you to escape to the mountain? Of course he could. Of course he could, but Lot remains true to his character. I can't escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, verse 20. Behold, now this city is near to flee to. I don't want to go to the mountains. It's a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one, and my soul shall live. Now, is there anything right about Lot's request? No. The Lord said, escape to the mountains. But he says, let me go to this little city. Is there anything right about this? No. Is there anything right about Lot as he was in and of himself? No. If you want to get a good look at Lot, look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. If you want to see what he really looks like, look in the mirror. That's who I see when I look at myself in the mirror. Lot. You know, I'm thankful for Lot. The Lord gives us this story of Lot to teach us just how much salvation really is all of grace. We see this in this man, Lot. Everything he did was wrong. And yet, he belonged to the Lord, and the Lord saved him. And the Lord gives us this story of Lot to teach us his gospel. Now, verse 21, and he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for which thou hast spoken. Now, that word accepted does not mean I'm accepting wrong behavior. This is the word that is generally translated, I've forgiven thee. I've forgiven thee. Not I've accepted your wrong behavior, but I have forgiven you concerning this thing also. And I'll not overthrow this city for which thou hast spoken. He was going to let Lot go ahead and flee to this small city. He says in verse 20, haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till you're out of here. Now think of what he said. I cannot bring the fire of God's wrath down while you're here. I cannot do anything until you are out. Now, let me repeat the title, Things That God Cannot Do. Now that is kind of a strange thing to even say as far as things God can't do. I thought God can do anything. He's God, isn't he? Well, look in Genesis chapter 18, verse 13. This is after the Lord had said that Sarah would have a child, even after she'd gone through menopause. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety be of a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything beyond his power? You know, he has omnipotence. Is anything too hard for the Lord? What's the answer to that question? He can do anything that is not contrary to his nature. Now, that's very important. God can do anything that is not contrary to his nature. He has no lack of power. He can do anything. He's omnipotent. Whatever he wills, he's got the power for that to come to pass. That's who God is. Anything less than that is no God at all. This is who God is. He's all powerful. Nothing's too hard for him. But he cannot do anything that is contrary to his nature. He cannot do anything that would violate any of his attributes. He can't save a sinner in a way that would contradict his justice or violate any of his attributes. He can't save a sinner at the expense of his justice. Now look, stay there in Genesis chapter 18. Look in verse 23. This is after Abraham finds out that God is going to destroy Sodom. And remember, Lot was there, his nephew, and he wanted the best for Lot. And look what he says to God in verse 23. And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? While there's nothing that's too hard for the Lord, there's still things that he cannot do. Now we read in the scripture of God who cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. Isn't that wonderful? God can't be deceitful. God can't lie. It's against his nature. He's holy. God cannot lie. God cannot sin. He's holy. If he could sin, he would be mutable. He could change. God cannot sin. The scripture points that out about him. Holiness is the inability to sin. God cannot be evil. God, the Son, cannot sin. You know, people present the Lord as when he was in the wilderness being tempted by the devil, and the devil was tempting him to do these things, and they almost presented as if he could have given in to the devil's temptations. No, he couldn't. He can't sin. He cannot sin. I've heard people say, well, how could he be tempted then if he couldn't sin? Well, he couldn't sin. That's all I know to say about it. He couldn't sin. That's really the same line the devil used with our first parents in the garden. There's no virtue in your obedience because you're just following your nature. But God is going, if you eat the fruit, you'll have a free will and you'll be able to choose the good over the evil. And that's what will make you good, because you'll choose the good over the evil. That's the line the devil used with our first parents. Doesn't work that way. God cannot sin. God the Holy Spirit cannot sin. That which he gives birth to cannot sin. Do you know, if you're a believer, you've been given a new nature, a holy nature that cannot sin. Let me read you a scripture from 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. It says, Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he's born of God. Now, do you hear that? That which is born of God lacks the ability to sin. Now somebody says, well, I sin. Yeah, I know you do. But that which is born of God does not commit sin. And really, if you see yourself as sinful, truly sinful, I'm not just saying I do bad things and make mistakes every now and then, but if you see yourself as someone who's truly sinful, full of sin, to where that's all you see, that's because you've been born of God. Only that which is holy can see that. God cannot sin. God cannot not be who and what he is. He said, I am that I am. God cannot be sovereign. Now what is meant by the sovereignty of God? It means God controls everything. He's the first cause behind everything. That's what God's sovereignty means. It means he reigns. It means the things that are going through your mind right now, he's in control of. Somebody says, well, what if I'm thinking evil thoughts? Whatever the case, God, who is holy, is in control of everything, and he's in control of you. You're in his hands. That's what God's sovereignty means. He cannot not be absolutely sovereign. Now, I heard a preacher make this statement. He said, the one time God decided to quit being sovereign is when Christ was nailed to the cross. At that time, God let men do what they wanted to do, and he quit being sovereign just for that time. No. Can't support that from the scriptures. As a matter of fact, that's blasphemous. God's sovereignty was never seen more clearly than on the cross. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and with wicked hands have crucified and slain. God's sovereignty was so resplendent when he caused his son to be nailed to a cross as the sin bearer for his people. God never abdicates his throne. God is always sovereign. God can't change. Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord, I change not. It said of the Lord Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. God's will cannot be thwarted. Remember, we're talking about things God can't do. You know, his will cannot not be done. His will can't be thwarted. He said, I have purposed it, I also will do it. God cannot be unjust. He lacks the whatever it is that makes people unjust. He cannot be unjust. Proverbs 17:15 says, he that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, they both are alike an abomination to God. Now listen to this. In light of that, God cannot clear the guilty. He said, I'll by no means clear the guilty. God's just. If you are guilty, he will not clear you. And God can't condemn the innocent. He's absolutely just. And the only way we can understand that is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how it is. You see, when Christ died, it wasn't the innocent dying, it was the guilty. The sins of God's elect became his sins. And he became guilty of those sins. And that's why God killed him. And when I'm set free, it's because I'm innocent. My sins have been put away by what Christ did. And I am now innocent. Called substitution. You know, when his enemies said in derision, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Truer words have never been spoken. For me or you to be saved, he could not save himself. You know, one said, I cannot curse whom God has blessed. And if God's blessed you, do you know you cannot be cursed? There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. He said in Isaiah 45 and in Isaiah 50, is my arm shortened that it cannot save? No. There's never a time when he is unable to save. You know, we're even warned in Isaiah 45:20. Of those who pray unto a God who cannot save. It says they have no knowledge that pray unto a God who cannot save. Now, a God that cannot save unless I do something to enable him to save me is a non-existent God. A God that cannot save, that very idea denies every attribute of God. A God that cannot save is a non-existent God. It's the figment of man's imagination. It's an idol. Now, while the blood of bulls and goats can never take away sin, the blood of the God-man does. He was manifested to take away our sin. In him is no sin. Now, think of this. And I'm going to get back to Lot in just a minute, but I'm trying to talk about what God cannot do. Do you remember when the Lord was praying in Gethsemane's garden? Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Now, what was in that cup? The sins of God's elect. The sins I have committed. The uncleanness that I have committed. My sins. They were placed in that cup. And when Christ looked at that cup, the Holy Son of God, the thought of drinking in those sins into his own body on the tree of being made sin. He said, if it be possible, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Was it possible? No. You see, Christ is called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and it was not possible for that cup to pass away from him. And he went on to say, the cup which my Father hath given me to drink, shall I not drink it? And he did. That's how my sin became his sin. He drank that cup. And he bare our sins in his own body on the tree. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. They became his sins. Now, look to Acts chapter 2. We looked at this in Sunday school. Remember, we're talking about things that are impossible. Acts chapter 2. Verse 23, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. It was not, things that are impossible, things God can't do, it was not possible for Christ to stay dead, because he completely put away the sins of everybody he died for. Now I don't want to say I love thinking of this. I don't like thinking of hell, but hell is eternal because satisfaction could never be made for the murder of the Son of God. If you ever wonder why is hell eternal? Why can't God just go ahead and make it to where it's not eternal? Why can't he just annihilate? Why can't he just make it to where we're not? Seems like that would be an easier thing to do. The reason hell is eternal, because satisfaction can never be made for the murder of the Son of God. There can never be a time when he said, well, it's okay now. It's okay now. But when Christ died, that sin was put away, so that God is actually satisfied. And Christ couldn't stay dead because God was satisfied with what he did. And he's satisfied with everybody he did it for. I think of this scripture. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Listen to this. If you have faith, it's impossible to not please him. What is faith? Faith is believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and believing that he is all you need to make you acceptable. You don't need your works. You don't need your act. He is salvation. And if I believe God, it's impossible for him to be anything but pleased with me. Actually pleased with me. Not just tolerating me, but looking at me and saying, I'm pleased with that person. There's no sin in them. Second Timothy 2:13 says, if we believe not, he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Now, what's all that about? What God cannot do. If we believe not, he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. What's that mean? This will give us some light in Ephesians chapter 5. Turn with me there. Look in verse 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Christ is one with his church. Now, look in verse 27 of this same chapter. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. And when Christ loved his wife, when he loved his church, when he loved his bride, he was loving himself. That is how real this union between Christ and the believer is. He was loving himself, and he can't deny himself. If he would deny me, he would be denying himself. And that cannot be. Now, Lot had to be delivered because he was one with Christ. And Christ Jesus cannot deny himself. Now, Brother Lot, I'm so thankful for this man, and the Holy Spirit has given us the record of this man to teach us the gospel. Brother Lot, you couldn't really say anything positive about him as far as his personal integrity with the gospel was, and he did leave Sodom and not look back, and that was by the grace of God, but it seems like everything he did was wrong, doesn't it? You know, his name means covering. And I can see why his name means that. Yes, he was a righteous man. He was a believer. Let me verify that with the scripture. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. This is talking about the overthrowing of Sodom and Gomorrah, verse 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that should afterwards live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man, dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Now that's God's testimony of Lot, righteous man with a righteous soul. And yet you look at his conduct, and preachers love to pile on Lot. Look how inconsistent he was. Look how contradictory he was. Look how sinful he was. Look how weak he was. Look at all the problems he got himself into. It's all true. But Lot is given to teach me and you how much salvation is by grace. How Christ is all in salvation. There's one reason Lot is called righteous Lot. It's because his sins were put away by Christ. And the very righteousness of Christ is given to him so that he is righteous Lot. God could not torch Sodom as long as Lot was there. Didn't say he wouldn't. It says he couldn't. We can't do anything until you're out here. Why? Because of the justice of God. Because of the purpose of God. It was God's purpose to save Lot. Lot was a righteous man. God could not destroy the righteous with the wicked. That's why Lot was saved. Now, Lot, the angel said, I can't torch this city until you're out of here. Until you're delivered. And that is said of every single believer, without exception. You see, Lot was chosen before time began by God to be holy and without blame. Ephesians 1:4, you can look this up if you want, but I'll quote it to you. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. Isn't that what righteousness is? It's to be holy and without blame. Lot and every other believer was chosen in Christ in eternal election before time began to be saved. And Lot can't be torched. God cannot act contrary to his will or his purpose or his justice. Now, on Mount Calvary, which was symbolized by the mountain Lot was told to escape to, all of Lot's sins were put away on Calvary's tree. When Jesus Christ said, "It is finished," when he bowed his mighty head and said, "It is finished," all of Lot's sins were blotted out. Believer, when Jesus Christ said, "It is finished," all of your sins were blotted out. They are no more. God must save you because you have no sin. You are perfectly righteous in God's sight by virtue of what Christ did for you. That's the reason Lot cannot be condemned with the rest of Sodom, because he had no sin. He had perfect righteousness. There's nothing to condemn him for. Listen to this scripture from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. By one offering, talking about his death on Calvary's tree, by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now, because God elected Lot, because Christ died for Lot, Lot was born of the Spirit and given a righteous nature. We were just reading about it in 2 Peter chapter 2. Now, why can't Lot be torched? Because Lot was a righteous man. And his righteousness had absolutely nothing to do with his conduct. His righteousness was the righteousness of Jesus Christ. His sin was put away by Christ. Lot is given to teach us the gospel. Lot could not be punished because his sin had been put away, and the justice of God could not allow him to be punished for that sin. You see, God cannot punish the same sin twice, can he? He can't do it. He would be unjust if he punished your sin in Christ and then turned around and punished you for it if you're in Christ. That would be unjust on God's part. God cannot act contrary to his justice. He can't send somebody to hell that he chose, that Christ died for, and God the Holy Spirit gave life to. That's why the angel said, we can't do anything until you're out of here. Aren't you thankful for that? Now, in this man Lot, we're taught how God saves sinners by his grace. And listen to this. If you believe, and let me use that word if. If you don't believe, all it manifests is that God hadn't done anything for you. But if you believe the gospel, if you rely on Jesus Christ as all you need to make you perfectly accepted before God, you're going to have the same end as Lot. Complete glorification. Heaven, likeness to Christ, eternity in his presence. Now, there are things God cannot do. And I want to say that in utter reverence. There's nothing beyond God's power. He's omnipotent, but he can't act contrary to who he is. And that's why Lot had to be saved. God purposed his salvation. Christ purchased his salvation. God the Holy Spirit gave him life. His sins were put away. He had perfect righteousness. He had to be saved because of the character of God Almighty. Thank God there are things he cannot do. Let's pray. Lord, we ask in the high and holy name of your Son, that we might be found in him, that we might be saved the way Lot was saved, by your grace, by your righteousness, by our sin being put away by what Christ did for us. Lord, how we thank you that you cannot be contrary in any way to who you are. Now, Lord, we ask in Christ's name that you'd take your word and bless it according to your will and work saving faith in each heart here according to your will. Bless us for Christ's sake. In his name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and come lead us. Closing.